We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
There's a lot of NFL news going on. Obviously, the playoffs, mega super wild card weekend thingy, Mabob, is going on this weekend, which is going to be exciting. The Bears are looking for a new general manager and a new head coach. There's all sorts of firings that are going on around the NFL. Luckily, one of my favorite NFL people was available to talk with me. Nancy Armour has covered the NFL for a long time. She covered the Bears up close. She has been in those press conferences at Halas Hall. So she's got an amazing perspective on all of this stuff. I'm not even going to mention that Marquette beat DePaul earlier this season, because that would just make Nancy happy, as she joins me on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline. Circuit Resort and Casino, go out there to Las Vegas. They've got the best sports book. It's amazing. You will have a great time. Hi, Nancy.
Hello, Lawrence. How are you?
I'm doing all right. DePaul got its first Big East win last night, so I'm very excited.
I saw that. But I will say, ring out a Hoya from the game that you mentioned from earlier this week.
It's the truth. It is very much the truth. So look, let me ask you about the Bears first, and then we can kind of zoom out to the NFL. You covered the Bears for a really long time. Now that you're looking at things from a national perspective, how did you take the press conference that went down on Monday?
It wasn't quite as well. I'm trying to think if it was as bad as the collaboration press conference from last year, or if it was a little bit less bad. Pretty comparable, I would say. Somebody made the pointed out that you've got two franchises that are long time owned by family members, whether it's in the Giants and the Bears. And it seems as if they have gone down very similar paths. And you can't help but wonder if it's because they're almost too close to it. David Haw, I think it was, wrote a great column basically saying that, George McCaskey he's basically every other fan. That's at least what he sounded like in the press conference. And he said that. He said, I'm a fan. I'm not a football evaluator. Well, if that's the case, then get yourself out of that position. Don't hire, let somebody else do the hiring and the firing of the general managers and the coaches, preferably a person with football knowledge. But as long as you have people who are running these franchises from a personal standpoint and not a football standpoint, I think you're just, you're running in circles. And all I could think of as I was listening to that press conference was how many years before we're back here doing the same thing. And, I'm not a Bears fan. I've covered the team. I've lived in the city for decades. I feel bad for people who are Bears fans, because I don't know that whoever is hired is going to make a material difference given who owns the team.
What I thought was so interesting about Monday, and had they asked me, not that they would because they hate me, but had they asked me, I would have told them to not do that press conference on Monday. I would have told them to do it on Tuesday for a lot of reasons, including the fact that in the period of time from when it was announced that Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy were fired up until George opened the press conference with Ted is on the call, Bears fans were in a great place. They were like, okay, we feel like we are seen by ownership. And it's a small thing, and I understand that I'm talking about the scheduling of a press conference, but it's stuff like that that makes me wonder, do they take any of that into account of how they're perceived and how they could work towards being perceived differently? Yes, it's mostly about whether or not the team wins or loses, but if you don't have that, if you don't have the winning record, there are ways to make yourself look like you know what you're doing. And they continue to struggle to look like they know what they're doing.
I think that is a great point. I saw that with many people who said, you know, Monday morning, I felt like I had some hope. And by Monday afternoon, it was gone. And, especially the thing that just I can't wrap my head around the fact is they're planning on building this, you know, Taj Mahal out in Arlington Heights. We'll see if it actually happens. But you're going to need people to go there. And, you know, if you've got 4 or 5 more years of this, will people, you know, I'm sure there'll be people who will for the excitement factor and the novelty factor. But how many people in the meantime are you driving off forever? I saw that from a couple other Bears fans who said, I'm done. I'm not going to switch allegiances, but I'm not going to give this team my heart and my attention anymore. And that is a really, really dangerous place to be.
Nancy Armour covers the NFL for USA Today. She's incredible. You should be reading her stuff because you know that when she's talking about the Bears, she knows of what she speaks because she has covered it. But outside of that, Nancy's doing a great job of doing some heavy lifting when it comes to NFL stuff. So please check out her work on USA Today. One more thing about the Bears, and then we can move on to some of the bigger picture issues. What did you think the failing of the Pace Nagy connection or collaboration was?
Oh, I think there were many. I'm not sure that Pace ever got the right people. And I'm not talking necessarily about the coach, but you know, you're the one place that you have to succeed when you're either signing or drafting somebody is with a quarterback. And, you know, what Pace swung and whiffed on six different people, five different. And I guess Justin Fields' verdict is still out. I think that there, the question about to George McCaskey about, you know, Nagy going to him and asking him about Justin Fields, I think that showed how much confidence Nagy had lost in himself. And, you know, I think a lot of people can look really good if you've got Patrick Mahomes, when Nagy was hired, that's what everybody looked at. It was like, okay, great. This is a guy who can develop a quarterback. But if you're having talent that's not at that level and it's not working out, it's going to ruin anybody's confidence, I think. I think the failure of getting the right quarterback, whether it's your starting quarterback, the backups, all of it, I think that was just, those were holes that, you know, Pace dug them to begin with, and they just got to be too big for him and Nagy to ever get out of. And I think, you know, it didn't matter what else they did. If you're wrong on that position, you're not going to be right on anything else.
You wrote a column that is available for people today, usatoday.com, if you want to check it out. We have now somehow ended up in a place where there's one black coach in the NFL, and it's Mike Tomlin, who went a long way to keeping his name out of people's mouths about maybe being replaced with the way that the Steelers finished the season and now find themselves in the playoffs. How did we get here?
I don't know. And if you read the column, you can probably tell I was very, very, very fired up yesterday. This is the same number of black coaches that we had in 1993. It's the same number of coaches of color that there were in 2003 when the Rooney Rule was implemented. How in 2022, with the volume of talented black and brown assistants, and I'm not even going to say men anymore because we've got some talented women out there. How do you only have one black man and three men of color? It cannot be anything but deliberate at this point. Because if you look at the guys who have been hired, if you look at the guys who have been, you know, passed over for some of those hires, it makes no sense. I mean, Eric Bieniemy, that man should have a job at this point. If Eric Bieniemy was a white man, he would have been hired probably two seasons ago, certainly last season. Byron Leftwich didn't even get an interview last year after, you know, guiding the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And yeah, he has Tom Brady, but he made Tom Brady look really good with some things that he was doing too. So and there are plenty of other guys out there beyond those two, but you cannot look at those two in particular and tell me that the NFL does not have a race problem when those two gentlemen don't have head coaching jobs. You just can't.
I feel like if we were to do like a super deep dive on this, that there was this run on there was a homogenous run on coaches that were alike. Obviously, when I say homogenous, where it was the up and coming offensive genius. And
yep.
Everyone was trying to find their McVay.
Yeah.
And so you saw people just jump, well, oh, okay, well, the Matt Nagy seems like that he could be that or whomever. And because of it, you ended up in this place where the archetype for the hiring in NFL circles became kind of these young white wunderkinds versus taking a more – and I'm talking about like even a guy like that we both covered, even a guy like Dave Tobe now sees himself not in the process of getting head coaching opportunities because a lot of these teams were looking for coaches to fix their problems, meaning their offense, instead of trying to find the best leaders that they could find.
Yeah, and the homogeneity, if that's a word, I don't know. One of my colleagues pointed this out yesterday, Tom Shad. There are three NFL head coaches with the name Sean. There are three white coaches with the name Sean, two white coaches with the name Mike, and two white coaches with the name Matt. There's one black head coach. I mean, so it's like, you're right. They're, you know, everybody's trying to find the same Sean McVay. And now it's probably going to be the same Matt LaFleur. But you're right. You've got to find the best person for your situation, which that is the only thing that I will say that I think the Bears are doing a good job with is that they have, you know, McCaskey said that they will look at the best person. It doesn't matter if they're coming from an offensive background, defensive background, special teams, they want the best coach. There's so many things that factor into success, but if you're just looking for the same guy, you know, the imitations are never as good as the originals. And we've seen that happen.
I agree with you about the Bears, like casting a wide net on GM and head coach. I'm glad to see that they're doing that. And maybe they will allow themselves to be wowed by someone who they didn't think would rise to the level of offering the job to. I do have some questions about all of this stuff, and I look at it clearly from the perspective of a black man and knowing some of the situations that I've been put in career-wise. I wonder, from your point of view, when you start to hear women coaches or women GM prospects, when you start to hear their names be lobbied about, I hear the laugh there. Like, do you want these women to go on these interviews? And how high is your concern that they are just checking off a box by bringing women into this space?
I think, first of all, I will say, I think it's great that there have been all of these increased opportunities for women in the sport. It's tremendous. That said, yes, I do worry about the whole, you know, the idea of it just being a box checked. I also worry, and this is what really kicked me off yesterday, was the NFL using women as a way to say, oh, we're inclusive, we're diverse. No, you're not. And, you know, just because you're interviewing a woman, even if you hire a woman, it does not make you diverse and inclusive. It, you know, you're still not looking at the quality of somebody beyond, you know, you're looking at the quality, you're looking at the color of somebody's skin rather than the quality of the person. So I don't, I worry about the box checking, and I don't want to see women used as another way to marginalize quality candidates of color.
It's such a weird thing, because obviously, like, to get to the point where you get put in an interview, and as a minority candidate, you sit there and you think, you know what, if I'm given a fair opportunity, I can win this job. And I wonder if anyone who's interviewing for some of these GM and head coaching positions, if they feel like they've done enough to not only warrant the interview, but warrant getting the job. But I also wonder if the NFL can look at what's happening with Bruce Arians. And look, Bruce has got some issues of his own. But when I look at his staff, I look at his staff and I go, wow, it's a little bit of everything. Like, he's got a little bit of everything on his staff, and his team is winning. Like, they won the Super Bowl. And I don't understand why, and maybe you're right, maybe the Bears are starting to move in that direction, and that would be wonderful if that were the case, that the NFL, like, writ large, isn't looking at that and being like, perhaps if we widen our circle of influence, we might be able to land in a similar place where we are successful and making it so that it's something for everyone who loves this game.
I could not agree with you more. And I was really hopeful last year that the success of the Buccaneers would make some of the owners think differently, expand their circle, because I don't know that all of them are, you know, racist, but we all have implicit biases. And that is the thing that's not addressed. That's, you know, when you are bringing in a candidate, somebody who looks like you, you know, are you automatically more comfortable? So therefore you're thinking that person is going to do a better job than somebody who comes in who looks different than you do. Those are the things that you have to be conscious of, and you have to not let guide you. And unfortunately, that's not happening. So I was hopeful that that would be the case with the Buccaneers, that people would look at Bruce's staff and go, yeah, wow, you know, maybe we should be thinking differently. And maybe that will be the case. You know, you look at some of the candidates that there are this year, it's not, you know, I was gritting my teeth the first day when, you know, I was seeing all this stuff about, you know, Bill O'Brien and Doug Peterson are getting interviews and they're the favorites for this job and this job. Not to say that they might not do well, but it's like, take a chance. Look at somebody outside the box, because you might find a diamond in the rough, and then everybody else is going to be like, wait a minute, how can we get that person? So,
right.
Yeah.
Like, you might find your Mike Tomlin. And,
right,
and
exactly.
You could have all sorts of stability going forward. Nancy, as always, I love talking with you. I love when you have time for this show. I think that you do incredible work for USA Today, including the column about this very subject. Thank you for always being available for my show. I really appreciate it.
Anytime for you.
That is Nancy Armour. She's great. Read her work at USA Today. I didn't even talk to her about, like, super marathoning and all that crazy running stuff that she does. At NR Armour is where you can find her on Twitter, and you can read her work in USA Today. I have been promising this since Monday. Since the press conference was done, there was one thing in the press conference that I thought the Bears did a really good job of talking about. I will share that with you next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And Watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Thanks, Herb.
Yes, thank you to Herbie. He does an incredible job. Thanks to Nancy Armour for being on the show as well, talking NFL. NFL Super Mega Wild Card Weekend. I am looking forward to, I'm going to be on vacation, but I'm looking forward to making a couple of wagers, I think, this weekend. There's a couple of things that interest me, like the over-under and the Bills-Patriots game is interesting to me. I don't understand Dallas only being a three-point favorite in their game. And as far as upsets go, I'm kind of leaning towards the Cardinals. We'll see. We'll see how I feel about that. Maybe I will put a wager down on the games this weekend. I've been saying all week that I thought that there was one part of the press conference that the Bears got right. Some people on Twitch, they guessed correctly on where I was going to go. And it was when they were talking about Arlington Heights and that property, I thought they got that. They did a much better job of laying out vision and execution of vision for that than they did for anything else. So I wanted to go through some of this with you and let you hear some of the things that were said, because obviously, like, this is the part of it that probably affects you the most from a day in, day out standpoint, if it actually ever happens. This was Ted explaining how his role will change, and I'm using air quotes, because he will focus on Arlington Heights versus the football part of it.
He has persuaded me that with the pending acquisition of the Arlington Park property and its evaluation as a possible future Bear Stadium, occupying much of his time and attention, the general manager should report to me. In this modified organizational structure, general manager will continue to oversee the entire football operation, including the head coach, but the GM will report to ownership.
One of the reasons why I was so angry about their there were a bunch, but one of them was because this makes all the sense in the world. It makes sense because Ted's done a good job with the family business and family business. It should be presented not as, like, if I were in the room, I would have said to George, you need to present this in a way that looks as if you are promoting Ted to take over the most important thing for your franchise on the business side, which is what they almost did. They were so close to that. It's why he shouldn't have been at the press conference. Again, if they were asking me, and they won't because they hate me, but if they were asking me, I would have said, George needs to do the press conference by himself. Make Ted available specifically to talk about Arlington Heights. Have him do that on another day later in the week. Then it's two positive controls of the news cycle if you do it that way. They didn't, and they bungled it. And they continue to do that. But inside of here, you understand, and this is part of what George was saying and Ted were saying about him being in charge of the Arlington Heights project.
Ted Phillips is in charge of that project. And I think the best way to explain it is anybody who's bought a house or a lot to build a house, there's a time between when the property is under contract and closing. And during that time, there are things that need to be done in terms of due diligence, making sure that there's clear title to the lot, house or lot, if it's a lot, determining whether it's a buildable lot and so forth. a lot of regulations that need to be checked out. Well, on a property of this size, that closing, that time between contract and closing is vastly expanded. So there's a lot of due diligence that needs to be performed before we can close.
This was maybe the most relatable cut that George had in the 57 minutes that he talked, because there are plenty of home buyers that can understand what he's talking about. Yeah, there's a piece of property that you love. You're interested in it. You want to put a bid on it. And now you're going through inspection. And now you want to figure out exactly what it is and what the problems of that property is, because every one of them has problems, and whether or not you want to deal with them. This is relatable. This is, Bears fans can understand that. It's very plain language that he's talking about here. Ted explained what it was about Arlington Heights that drew them to it.
As George pointed out, you know, we didn't go to try to pursue this property that came available, but it is 326 acres. It's a extremely unique property. There's nothing else like it in Chicagoland. So the opportunities, you know, we haven't even begun to envision what it'd be, but we're hopeful that if we close, that we'll be, you know, moving forward with turning it into a wonderful destination site. Again, timing of it, we don't know, because we haven't even closed on the land. And if we don't close on the land, then all that vision won't come to fruition. But we're excited. It can be an entertainment destination of with multiple facets to it that I think could really help put Arlington Heights on the map as a destination spot.
Now, that was really interesting to me, as not just a place where the Bears play, but let's turn it into Rosemont, where you have all sorts of different restaurants and activities that you can be a part of because you have this giant piece of land that is available. The possibilities, if it's buildable, are endless. And I'm sure that there's some environmental work that the Bears are probably doing right now to figure out if that's the case. But that definitely perked my ear, because you know what that sounds like, right? That sounds like stadium, casino, housing, restaurants, like all of that stuff. It sounds like that would be a part of the real estate deal that the Bears are talking about. So, of course, because they didn't separate Ted from the football side of it, and inside of there, you have George telling you that Ted's going to be a part of the football side of it, at least through them hiring their next people. This part was a little disappointing, but they're trying to explain how Ted is going to balance his time between the search and the project.
Well, they are both full-time initiatives. And we're adding staffing and hiring outside vendors to help us with our exploration of the Arlington Park property as a possible stadium site. That is a long-term proposition. In the meantime, we're focused on the here and now and the more important business of finding the next general manager and head coach of the Chicago Bears.
See, again, I would say that both of these pieces of businesses are important. And that's why it would make sense to be like, we are deploying Ted to go be in charge of that. And I, along with Bill Polian, whoever you want to, we are going to take care of this. And Lamar and Tanisha, we're going to go find our next GM and our next head coach.
Not Lamar. Soup.
No? Oh.
Is it Soup? They call that man Soup. Grown-ass man named Soup.
Well, I mean, everyone seems to call him Soup except for Anthony Heron, who calls him Killer.
His mama probably don't call him Soup.
I guarantee you his mama don't call him Soup. I would have preferred in the press conference for there to have been a more formal introduction of him. I don't know if he cares. He probably doesn't. But I can just tell you, like, here's how ridiculous it is. imagine George being up there and being like, here's who's on the committee to help us find our new GM. It's going to be me. It's going to be Ted. It's going to be Tanisha Wade, who's our DEI expert, and Loho. Like, doesn't that sound ridiculous? Yes. Like, that sounds ridiculous, right? That Loho, and then to continue to refer to me as Loho throughout there without saying what my actual name is. I just feel like he could have brought him out a lot better than he acted as if we all knew who Soup was. And this is what I mean about George and interpersonal relationships. He has reached a level of familiarity with this person where he feels comfortable referring to him by his nickname. That's good. That's a really good thing. You don't use the nickname all the time, is my only point. That call that man by his real name, and then we can figure out if we want him to be called Soup. That's all. Ted and George went on to talk about how they haven't bought the land yet, so there's no commitment yet.
Right now, Jason, all we're doing is exploring the property's potential. We don't even own the property yet, and any questions beyond that would be premature at this point.
But I doubt you're exploring it to build an outlet mall or something. I mean, do you intend to build a football stadium there?
We're exploring the viability of building a football stadium on that property.
And when would you ideally like to see that happen, if it does happen? How soon?
Well, we don't have a timetable yet because, as I said, we don't even own the property yet. So it would be sometime after closing before we could make that determination.
Great. So then Ted went on to give a timeline about when he thinks things could get done in Arlington Heights.
The closing on the land probably is going to take the rest of this year, maybe into the first quarter of 2023. And at that point in time, we'll decide whether it's financially feasible to try to develop it further. And I think what's important now is that our focus for long-term development exclusively at prep in Arlington Park.
And then Ted went on to explain what he meant by the long-term investment.
Our exploration of the Arlington Heights project was determined in large part by the seller. This was just a piece of property put out for sale. We were contacted by them, or an agent for them, and we saw this as an outstanding long-term proposition with high potential for the Bears. In the meantime, we're happy to engage with the City of Chicago and the Park District about present operations at Soldier Field.
What was the last time that happened, that engagement?
I don't remember. I think it was a few weeks ago.
So there, you have an idea of what it is that they think they want to do and how far out it actually is. It's very important, and they kept reiterating, we have not closed on this land yet. I think they will. Unless there's something environmentally wrong on it, I think that they will. And I think that it's an incredible investment for them. It improves the value of this franchise. If they sell it, it gives the new owner an opportunity and gives them some leverage against the city if they don't want to play their games at Soldier Field anymore. And I would understand why someone wouldn't want to play their games at Soldier Field. It's a great move for them. I will tell you, I had an event in the Arlington Heights area. Now, I'm lucky. I'm spoiled. I live 6 minutes away from Soldier Field. If they go to Arlington Heights, I would prefer that they stay in the city, but God bless. Like, go on out there and do that. But I will tell you, there needs to be, to make this a destination like Ted was talking about, not just on game day, there needs to be a real infrastructural investment by Cook County, the City of Arlington Heights, and the state of Illinois. And that's the part when things are going to get interesting. Because I guarantee you that these dudes want to spend your money. That's how rich people stay rich. They spend someone else's money. They don't spend theirs. So be aware of when some of these things come up on ballots, when we start talking about road improvements and all sorts of other things that kind of slide through city council and county board meetings, like all this stuff. They're going to try. I don't know how successful they're going to be. I suspect they'll be successful, but they're going to try to spend your money. And it's your money. You should have it now.
And unlike like the Chargers or the Raiders, the Bears are not leaving this area. So you have the power if you're Arlington Heights or Chicago, if you want to have your taxes raised. This should be a privately owned business and stadium. You shouldn't put a dollar out there for this stadium.
And let me connect the business to the fandom for a second. This is the part where you want to make your voice heard. This is the part where you want to actually affect change with the Bears. You can go, no, y'all got it. You don't want to listen to our advice on anything else. Y'all got this with the money thing. So know that they're going to come to you for the money through your politicians. They're going to come to you for the money. And when they do, you can raise your voice that way. You want to make an impact on them as an organization? That'll be the way to do it. Not by turning the game off in the third quarter. And honestly, at this point, not by not going to games. But when they come for your money, you can tell them no. Back after this on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
David Hall? You're muted, David. David, you're muted.
Sorry about that. Hello, George.
So that was one of the best questions you've ever asked.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to get an answer just as good.
David with the zinger is great. Listen, until Jim Harbaugh tells people that he is going back to Michigan, which I suspect he's going to do for a lot more money because they took his money away, and it's going to feel good when he gets that money back. Until he does, he is going to be a candidate for a lot of openings, including the ones with Las Vegas and with the Bears. I want you to pay attention. Whether it's on The Score or on Al Gore's internet, there are going to be a lot of people, until he goes back to Michigan, that are going to extol the virtue of how good his offenses were, especially in San Francisco, and the amazing job that partnership that he had with Colin Kaepernick when Cap was the quarterback, that were the same people that told you that Colin Kaepernick wasn't no damn good. The Venn diagram of that is going to be fascinating. And I promise you, I've already seen some of it, which made me laugh about it on Twitter today. But there's going to be all sorts of people that are going to tell you about, they're going to use Colin Kaepernick's success with Jim Harbaugh as a way to prop up Harbaugh's coaching credentials without giving any credit to Colin Kaepernick. By the way, Jim Harbaugh would be on a very short list of people that I would hire before I would hire a GM. I think he's an incredible coach. And I think that he did do a great job with Colin Kaepernick. But to act as if he was the only one in that relationship is a little duplicitous to me. And there's a bunch of people that are going to do it. So when you hear it or when you see it, make sure you point it out and let them know that their slip is showing. I'll talk to Parkins and Spiegel next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with GameDay, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.